Let's open our Bibles once again to Mark chapter 2, beginning at verse 23. Here we have the account of our Lord's declaration that the Sabbath was made for man and not man for the Sabbath. Mark chapter 2, verse 23. Now it happened that he went through the grain fields on the Sabbath. And as they went, his disciples began to pluck the heads of grain. And the Pharisees said to him, "Look, why do they do what is not lawful on the Sabbath?" And he said to them, "Have you never read what David did when he was in need and hungry, he and those with him? How he went into the house of God in the days of Abiathar the high priest, and ate the showbread, which is not lawful to eat, except for the priests, and also gave some to those who were with him?" And he said to them, "The Sabbath was made for man, and not man for the Sabbath. Therefore the Son of Man is also Lord of the Sabbath." Some background notes. In verse 23, some translations read that they began to pluck the ears of corn. Now, this would not be a cornfield like we have in Iowa, and the disciples are not plucking these ears of corn and eating them like corn on the cob or something like that. No, the ears of corn should be translated, as it is in many of your translations, heads of grain. It would be either wheat or barley. Now, the Pharisees in verse 24 find fault with the disciples and say, "Look, why do they do what is not lawful on the Sabbath?" Now, they are not accusing the disciples of stealing, but of working on the Sabbath. That's the problem as far as they're concerned. The law permitted you to walk through a field and pick some grain and eat it. Deuteronomy chapter 23 and verse 25, "When you come into your neighbor's standing grain, you may pluck the heads with your hand, but you shall not use a sickle on your neighbor's standing grain." So you could walk through a field and pluck some heads of grain and eat them, but you couldn't bring in your tractor and harvesting equipment. That would be stealing. And not only that, the law required that some spare grain be left over, unharvested at the edges of the fields for the poor and for the stranger. In Leviticus 19, verses 9 and 10, we read, "When you reap the harvest of your land, you shall not wholly reap the corners of your field, nor shall you gather the gleanings of your harvest. And you shall not glean your vineyard, nor shall you gather every grape of your vineyard. You shall leave them for the poor and the stranger. I am the Lord your God." So the Pharisees then were not finding fault with the disciples for picking some of this grain and eating it. Their problem was that it was being done on the Sabbath, and therefore it was against the law. The law said in Exodus chapter 20, verses 9 and 10, "6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord your God. In it you shall do no work, you, nor your son, nor your daughter, nor your manservant, nor your maidservant, nor your cattle, nor your stranger who is within your gates." And according to the way Judaism at this time interpreted the law, wrongly of course, plucking a few heads of grain was reaping, and therefore work. Rubbing the few heads of grain in your hand was threshing, and therefore work. And blowing the chaff away from your hand was winnowing, and therefore it was work. So that's the problem that the Pharisees had here. Well, now how does the Lord answer that question that they raise? Well, that brings us to our doctrinal points. Doctrinal point number one, the Sabbath was made for man and not man for the Sabbath. The Sabbath was made for man and not man for the Sabbath. That was part of our Lord's answer, as we see there in verse 27. The Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath. Certainly, the Lord does also give the answer that we have in verse 28. The Son of Man is also Lord of the Sabbath, meaning certainly Christ has authority over the Sabbath. But in verse 27, he's making this point that the Sabbath was made for man and not man for the Sabbath. What did the Lord mean by this? Essentially, the Lord was saying that you must distinguish between moral law and ceremonial law or civil law. The law of the Sabbath was a regulatory civil law. It was not a moral law. The law of the Sabbath was not a moral law like thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not murder, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not lie. It was a law to actually protect man from overworking in his greed. It forced man to rest and think about God. And it certainly protected poor servants and gave them needed rest. All of the other of the Ten Commandments were moral, and therefore they're repeated in the New Testament because God's moral laws never change. But the Sabbath is not given as a law in the New Testament because the Sabbath is not a moral law. The Lord backed up his point that the Sabbath was made for man and not man for the Sabbath by using the example of David in the Old Testament. And that brings us to our next doctrinal point. Bible stories should be used as precedents. Bible stories should be used as precedents. Now, when I first wrote out this doctrinal point, I said Bible stories can be used as precedents. But it really should be Bible stories should be used as precedents. That's why God gave them. That's why they're included in the Bible. Here's what we read in Romans chapter 15 and verse 4. For whatever things were written before were written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the Scriptures might have hope. And certainly that includes the Bible stories. All of the Scriptures are written for our learning, and it certainly includes the Bible stories. And that's exactly what our Lord does here. The Lord goes back to the Old Testament, to 1 Samuel chapter 21, where you read the story of David and how he and his men were running away from King Saul, who was out to kill them. And our Lord refers to that story and then draws an application from it. In the account, David and his men, who are running from King Saul, come to a place called Nob, where the tabernacle was in those days. The men are famished, and there is no food except the showbread, which was, according to ceremonial law, only for the priests. But life is more important than ceremonial law, and the priest gives them the bread, and David and his men eat it. Now, the Lord affirms what David did here, and then he goes on to make his application about the Sabbath. And the Pharisees really had no comeback argument, because they certainly would also say that David did the right thing. The doctrinal point that we're making here is that the Lord used an Old Testament Bible story as his precedent to make his point. We should do the same. That's why the Bible stories are included. Now, one note of caution is in order here. In some Bible stories, a character is doing the wrong thing. Well, let's not take the wrong thing and make it a precedent for doing wrong. In Genesis 12, for example, Abraham, great hero of the faith, goes down to Egypt and lies about his wife. Now, you don't want to take that Bible story and make it a precedent for lying about your wife. No, that would be wrong. And certainly the Scripture gives you safeguards here. But keeping these safeguards in mind, then, Bible stories can be and should be used as precedents. Now, before we go to our practical application, one little technical note should be mentioned. The priest who was in office when David received the showbread was actually Ahimelech, the father of Abiathar. And notice the Lord mentions Abiathar. But I want you to notice closely now that the Lord doesn't say Abiathar was in office. He says in the days of Abiathar. And certainly that would be true. You remember, we're looking back now about 1,000 years. And the Lord says in the days of Abiathar. It would be similar to saying, in reference to some event in our own country's history, in the days of George Washington. Now, by that, we don't mean that the event had to happen while George Washington was in office as president. Well, in the same way, because Abiathar became the more prominent priest in the days of David, the Lord looks back at that time. And even though Ahimelech was actually the priest in office when David got the showbread, the Lord looks back on that time of history and says, in the days of Abiathar, the priest. All right, now practical application. Practical application number one. Let's not miss the spirit of the law by keeping the letter of the law. Let's not miss the spirit of the law by keeping the letter of the law. That's what the Pharisees did here with the Sabbath, and what they did with so many of the ceremonial laws. They would keep the laws for the law's sake and miss the whole purpose and spirit of the law. Well, we can do the same. For example, in 1 Timothy 4, verses 4 and 5, we read that it is right to give thanks for our food. Now, most Christians keep the letter of that law. We bow our heads before a meal and give thanks, even in restaurants. But most of the time, it's a quickie prayer, even a rub of the eyebrows prayer, right? Have we kept the letter of the law but missed the spirit of the law? The spirit of such a law is to take time out and reflect on how good God is to continually provide for us and how thankful we should be. But most of the time, so many of us just go through the motions. Let's not miss the spirit of the law by keeping the letter of the law. Practical application number two. Let's not confuse moral laws and regulatory laws. Let's not confuse moral laws and regulatory laws. Again, that's what the Pharisees were always doing, and the Lord had to correct them. But we need to do the same. We're not to confuse moral laws and regulatory laws. Let's take the speed limit, for example. Is that a moral law or a regulatory law? Obviously, it's a regulatory civil law. Well, is there ever a time when you'd break the speed limit? Normally not. Just as normally, only the priests ate the showbread. But suppose your child is bleeding to death, or your neighbor has had a heart attack. Of course you drive to the hospital as fast as you can. Of course, keeping safety in mind. But you don't let your child die because of a road sign that says slow down to 15 miles an hour until 5 miles out of town, something like that. On the other hand, you don't break the speed limit because you just don't like it, or you want to drive fast, or you're late to work or church. No. But with a regulatory law, there is that time, just like David and his men ate the showbread, where life is more important than the law. Now, what about the moral law? See, people can get confused here too because they don't distinguish between moral law and regulatory law. Don't commit adultery is a moral law of God. Is there ever a time when it would be right to commit adultery? No, absolutely not. Regardless of what state laws allow between consenting adults, regardless of what the situation is, the Bible does not teach situation ethics. You never commit adultery. It's a moral law of God. Let's not confuse moral laws and regulatory laws.